Hey, it's us once again. It's the Side Track Show.
Yeah.
For Thursday.
Yeah, just checking in.
Just checking in with everybody.
You know, talking you people through the pandemic.
It's funny because we're like doing daily updates, but we just want to talk about stuff other than the pandemic. Probably people are sick of talking about it.
Well, I've talked to Trina and people from the show, you know, people that listen to the show. You know, they're in other states up north. They're scared, some of them, you know, which I can understand it.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't really have, you know, if you don't really know exactly what's going on and, you know, you can get sick, but it's not going to be that bad. We're going to see.
I'm just like I said, it'll be changes and stuff like that. It's like, unfortunately, some people are going to die and that sucks, but it's like...
That's the way life is.
It's, well, and one of the things about it is that I try not to worry about it, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, I try not to worry about things that I can't, that I don't really have any control over, and this is, like, the very definition of something I don't have control over, so I'm like, not worried.
Don't worry,
it.
I have control.
He's got control.
I can mitigate anything.
Everybody calm down.
Yeah. Well, no, I can't control what their situation is.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying in my local environment, I'm fucking out of control.
Yeah.
I can mitigate any
now,
of this
I do
shit.
Actually, we have been home for a few days, but I do actually have to go to the post office tomorrow. So maybe I'll go maybe I'll go in the middle of the night when like nobody's there.
No, just, you know, go put on some gloves or something.
Yeah, I probably will.
Put on some gloves or something when you open the door and just do the thing and just come back out.
I mean, generally, as long as you see, you know, and you got to like wash your hands and I'm sure everybody's. Because so you don't touch surfaces. I'm more worried about touching surfaces that other people have touched than other stuff like that.
So it's not a big population density around here.
It's really not. So that's what I think. That's why we're probably, I mean, because we're kind of, we're outside of Orlando, but we're in like a real suburban area where people kind of like live far apart a little bit.
You can control anything. Stay away from other people unless you can't because of your work.
Yeah, because a lot of people are still
got to keep people moving, you know what I mean? But, you know, dude, keep washing your hands, keep your face covered, try to keep stay away from crowds. Don't fucking rub your eyes. Stop fucking with your face. If you can stay home as much as possible. Let's just wait and see what the numbers are. And it's going to depend on where you live.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big...
Well, yeah, definitely.
If you're around New York, San Francisco, L.A., Chicago, anything with a high population, high density, you're probably going to get sick. Hate to tell you.
Well, like I said, it's, you know, it's one thing to get sick. It's like, I feel like most people probably will not die from
it. Yeah. Most people don't even know they have it, evidently. They're asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Most
people, I mean, because some people get colds and flus every year, so it's kind of like...
My basic understanding is that most people that get this aren't really sure that they have it. They just kind of feel a little bit like crappy, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
But then some people are real susceptible to it, you know, depending on how old they are and what their condition is.
Yeah.
Some people just feel like shit. You know what I mean? Which I felt like shit a couple weeks back. I thought it was
this. You did, yeah.
I thought it was this.
I don't know. It was kind of early, though, for anybody. And we're not really in a high-risk area.
Well, we don't know. We're not in a high-risk area, but we don't know how many of them there are here. Because they're really not testing. They're only testing the people that are fucking sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that are sick already just walking around. No problem. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't have the resources to like, check everybody.
Yeah, you know, like the test is like fucking $30 a person. And, you know, imagine $30 per person. Yeah, they can't afford all that shit.
Yeah.
And then they're making up all these tests out of the blue, just out of nowhere.
Well, and most of the time, it would probably be unnecessary.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. Most people catch it, they'll be fine.
You know.
Yeah.
But so we had a couple of requests for topics to talk about, which, you know, we don't have that much of a problem. Like, because I figured, well, shit, we could always, like, recommend music or books or movies or something like that if we couldn't think of anything else. But we did have two requests of things to talk about on the show, so that's what we'll talk about. Now, first of all, somebody requested, I guess because we had talked about how we got Baby Cookie, or Pookie as we call her, like about her origin story.
Yeah.
So somebody asked about the origin story of our other cat, Beijing.
Yeah. I was at the barn one time.
Yeah, he used to work at a barn out here in Sanford.
Right, helping with horses and stuff. You know, it was the English equestrian. They had this girl, it was long before I met you, Jenny. Had this girl, she ended up being, she's that now champion rider. She's in England, actually. And she's also, I think she might be training a little bit. But at the time, she was, I think, a senior in high school. She was getting ready to get out. And she just ran up to me, Tom, look at the kitty. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And they go, they're going to kill it. And I said, give me that cat.
No one's going to kill this kitty.
Yeah. Turned out she had some friends that had a cat that had a litter, and there's a bunch of animals in the house. and they couldn't, the cat that had the litter wasn't fixed, and it kind of like an unexpected pregnancy. So they were trying to either hand all the cats out or send them to the pound to have them gassed.
Yeah.
But she knew how to get me, you know, Tom, they're going to kill it.
Well, that would work on me, too. Give me that cat. Just give me it. I wouldn't even think about it.
And it was on the day, the first day of the Beijing Olympics.
Yeah.
So I called her Beijing.
So what year was that? Oh, I can't even remember.
Fucking 2008, 2009, something
like that. Because she's about 10, isn't she? She's about 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah. No, it's almost 2020. Yeah, yeah, about 10. About 10. Yeah, I think she's 10 years old. She's a middle-aged cat.
Yeah. She's hilarious. As far as I know, she's a ragdoll, I think.
Yeah, she's a ragdoll.
Just from the way she looks and the way she behaves.
If you ever wash her and get her wet, there's no mass. Just she looks big at first.
She looks like a huge...
And then it goes down, and then she's just like a little bitty skinny rat.
It's hilarious because for a long time, because like I said, he had had Beijing, and she was...
Yeah.
I think when I met you, she was not a kitten. I mean, she wasn't like fully grown.
She's probably about 4 years.
But she was almost, she was still pretty big. But, so I'd always just thought of her as just big puff, like a big puff ball.
Yeah.
Because she looks enormous. And I did put a video, because remember when I was washing the bathroom the other day and she was rolling around because she was like, bleach, yay, because she loves bleach smell. Yeah. And so I videotaped her, and she looks like gigantic in that video. But yeah, the few times we've given her a bath, you know what I mean? It's like, she's like, this just this little baby. And we gave her a lion cut at one point. I might have put that video in one of the things, too, because that was funny as hell.
Well, Candace was kind of like a Florida redneck Paris Hilton. That's what she looked like. She kind of acted like that. But what's funny is that Beijing acts like she's Paris Hilton.
We call her Paris sometimes.
Hilton, but yeah, that's what Candace looked like. She looked like Paris Hilton.
Well, mostly I call her Princess Fluffass.
And and fucking cat acted like a princess too. So it just kind of stuck.
Just because she's so fluffy, like, from behind, she has, like, this big, huge, like, thing of hair. Like,
she's kind of dumb, too. She doesn't really focus on anything. Her eyes are just kind of...
She's gotten smarter as she's gotten older, and she's a little less aloof than she used to be, and she's, like, more vocal than she used to be. Because I feel like before, she was always just kind of like, eh, fuck you guys, and she would just kind of go and lay on a bed somewhere.
I thought she might have had maybe some eye problems. Maybe she couldn't see real well, but no, she can see.
Yeah, she can see just fine. Because nowadays...
She just didn't make eye contact and didn't focus on anything and just was just had real kind of spacey looking, airheaded. It was like a Paris Hilton.
Yeah. But she's kind of less like that as she's gotten older. Right, now that she's like 10 or 11, now she's like a cranky old lady kind of.
Yeah.
And she has very specific ways of expressing to you like what she wants. Yeah. If she wants to go out on the back porch, she will come in the room and stand by the... sliding glass door, and she will turn and just stare at Tom with her head over like that, and just stare and stare and stare.
Yeah.
And then finally Tom will get up to open the door, and then she goes, meow!
Yeah.
And flicks her tail.
Yeah, otherwise...
on the way out.
Otherwise, she just...
wasn't quick enough.
She's just kind of like this ghostly presence that just kind of comes in and comes out. She's not... doesn't really have... that's her personality. I want to say that she doesn't have a personality. That is her personality. She's just... tries to disappear or vanish and then just looks at you, you know, when she wants... it's weird. But speaking of ghosts, somebody wanted to know about the damn house that me and Eric lived in.
Okay. I'll say some more shit about Beijing.
Okay, go ahead and say something.
No, I was going to say, one thing that she does do, though, even though she's, you know, kind of aloof most of the time, she likes to sneak up on people every now and then.
You never know when it's going to happen.
And you never know when it's going to happen. It just only happens when maybe it'll go like 3 weeks and she won't do it. But then like you'll be walking through the house and she'll pop out from behind the wall. She like jumps up the wall.
Jumps up the wall, tries to bounce like, off the wall. And
at your head.
Try to hit you. Right.
And then she goes.
And then runs off. And like she, yeah, like she's laughing.
And every now and then she'll try to do it, but she'll like... she'll peek around the corner to see where you're coming, and you'll see her. Like, you'll see her ears.
And she'll pretend like
and
you didn't see her.
She'll be like, shit! And then she'll, like, pull back like that. So she is kind of like... and another thing she does, too, we call it her cargo cult behavior.
Yeah, it's weird what she
does. And she does this almost every night. It'll be in the middle of the night. It's usually 2 or 3 in the morning.
She'll get those damn fucking...
yeah, and you'll wake up, and you'll hear her out in the living room. She'll be like...
calling.
And you go out there in the morning... and there's all they have like all these little stuffed animals, like a little stuffed fox and like the little toys from Nightmare Before Christmas and stuff. And there's like a little path of them.
Yeah, it's always like the same ones.
Yeah, she likes particular ones. I have like a little octopus. She likes that. Yeah. And
the spider.
Will, like, And the spider.
The big old stuffed spider.
Yeah, and she just, like, leaves him out there. And if you... We've caught her a couple of times.
Yeah.
She just sits there by
stares
it.
Stares at it.
And stares at it and makes crawls. That call.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
It is kind of creepy. I'm not really sure what she's
looking
doing.
At it. Nobody knows what she's doing.
But every morning when I get up, because I almost always wake up and hear her.
And
but,
Baby Cookie will sit there and just watch at her, like, watch her, like,
what is she doing? What the Because Baby Cookie doesn't really do that.
No, she doesn't know what it is. She's just like, what the fuck is she doing?
I mean, Cookie plays with her toys in the middle of the night sometimes, because sometimes I'll wake up and hear jingle, 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 like one of her little jingly balls or something, like going across the kitchen floor. But as far as she doesn't do that weird cargo cult thing with the toys where she just like sits there over it and just goes, murr, 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 like every night. It's the weirdest fucking thing ever. But yeah, so speaking of creepy, somebody asked about... your Boston house, because I don't think, I guess you've mentioned it offhand a couple times, but I don't think you really went that much into the story.
All right, after I got back from Walter Reed Army Hospital, my normal ETS date was approaching to get out of the Army. And what was funny is that my best friend, Eric, at the time, his ETS date to get out of the Army was like 2 days before mine. So we were getting out the same time.
Yeah.
And a bunch of weird, like, coincidences had happened. He lived in Boston before at one time. He was from Detroit, though, okay? But he lived in Boston. He wanted to go back to Boston. He was talking about it over that fucking, like, three-year period. And just by chance, at the time, I had a girlfriend from Brazil who was living in Boston. All right? So we got the idea into our head that we would move to Boston after we got out. And he had this damn Volkswagen Jetta. I wrecked a motorcycle and sold off like a lot of the guns and shit that I had. Or we traded them, sold them, you know, because really couldn't take them to Boston. Kind of guns that they had, you know, we had AK-84s, which, yeah, there was an AK-84. You guys probably don't know about that, but I had one of those. Fucking bunch of AKs, pistols and stuff. And I sold all that off. And that's how I got a bunch. And then the paychecks and everything. And that's because, you know, I had my Army paychecks.
Yeah.
And so I had enough money to move down there. So when we get there, finally get there, and a bunch of weird shit happened. On that day that we left, there was a mass shooting. That was a weird fucking time. A dude at Fort Campbell went to the damn massage parlor, for all I know, to get a hand job or some shit like that. And he goes in there and finds his wife working in there. So he runs out to the damn car, and he had an SKS rifle with a fucking 30 round magazine, went in there and killed everybody in there.
Bit of an overreaction, I feel.
And then he killed himself. Yeah. So that was weird. As we were leaving, all we saw was a bunch of emergency vehicles fucking coming in on the place. That shooting had just happened. We'd heard about
it as
we were leaving.
Like a bad omen.
That's some weird shit. So somebody might be able to understand what exact date that was. I know I can tell you exactly what the date was. It was my ETS date, September 24, 1994. That's when that fucking was. So you can check that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was 2 days before my 22nd birthday.
Yeah. So Eric, you know, he got out 2 days before I did, but he just hung out in the barracks and partied for 2 days. They didn't make him go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So we left. So we left, and this dude was a fucking trip, man. He was yuppie as hell. We were kind of like opposites, in a way, you know? He was a yuppie kid, and he walked around like a fucking millionaire. He had Rolexes and fucking all this real nice shit. He's like, I only want to buy it once, so I'll just spend, you know, a bunch of money on it and keep it for my whole life. He was like one of those kind of guys.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about
him. Yeah. And that bitch was wearing, like, damn tweed coats and shit. Looked like fucking Rex Harrison and shit. Motherfucker was funny. And so we pull in, you know, and I kind of fucking, you know, hang out with my girlfriend for a while. Once we get there, you know, it was over at her place. And then we go out later on, you know, and I forgot where Eric went. He had a friend in that area, too. And then, like, a couple days later, we jump in his car. So we go to a real estate agent. And we told her, we said, well, we want a really good deal, like on some kind of a house for like short money. And we don't really care what it looks like as long as it's livable. You know, like a really good deal. She goes, I know, a place just like this. And when we get there, it was a house. It was like a three-story house with a basement. And fuck, it was like 100-something years old. All right, it was an old New England house. And it was... in a bad area. It was like, I'm saying, it was in a good neighborhood, but I was just saying, It was behind a damn liquor store. It was built before the city was there. So it ended up in like this weird like cul-de-sac behind a damn liquor store.
Within walking distance of a liquor store? That's a great location.
No, you could open the window and fucking reach out and throw a bottle cap on the back of the damn store. I mean, it was like right up next to it, like a house.
So shit, man, you could probably just like, yell out the window, hey, bring me some tequila.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, there was a bunch of weird shit about that house. We paid first and last month, I think, in like a deposit. Okay?
Yeah, that's usually.
And then we stayed there for like 7 or 8 months, almost a year, I think. Might have been around 10 months. And no one ever collected any rent from us. We
See,
didn't even know who owned it.
Is like, there's something really spooky about that.
We didn't even know who owned it. Okay.
So, but you went through a real estate.
Yeah. And it was the last time we saw her, and we didn't know who to pay.
See, that sounds like the opening of a horror movie. That sounds like a horror movie.
It was some weird shit.
In fact, I might use
now,
that.
Now, I'm going to skip the whole fucking weird paranormal story and go to the end. How we got out of there is one day a dude fucking knocked on the door and said, hey, how you doing? And introduced himself. He says, I just bought this house. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah.
Like 8 months later or whatever.
Yeah. And he goes, I didn't realize it, but I guess we were like, the house was for sale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we never met the damn landlords. They must have moved away.
Yeah.
So I think the real estate agent was kind of like using us as security guards, maybe.
Yeah, they're
to
like,
make
well,
sure,
we'll just stick some squatters
just stick them in
there.
Here, yeah. And because we didn't know. Anyway, he goes, I just bought the house and you guys are here. And he goes, I'm going to start rebuilding on the bottom floor. Could you guys move up into some of the other floors, you know?
That was nice of him.
And I was like, yeah. Or no, he moved on the middle floor. That's what it was. He moved on the middle floor. I moved up to the very top. Well, I was already up at the very top, but he didn't care. And then like a couple weeks later, once he got shit done, he goes, okay, you guys got to leave.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. So we got kicked out. Anyway. Anyway, the house was weird. When you walked in there, it felt kind of like somebody was watching you. It reminded me of Mammoth Mountain a lot.
Yeah.
Eric didn't believe any of that paranormal shit, but I could tell it was fucking... It was that... Remember I told you that said that, you know, on one of our other shows, I said that I lived in a house that was kind of like an old Victorian house, and none of the rooms, the orders didn't make sense.
Yeah,
you had to walk through everybody's room.
That was in Detroit,
That's
right?
why I moved... No, that was in Boston.
Oh, that was in Boston, okay.
And that's why I moved up to the fucking attic apartment, because... We couldn't live on the same floor.
Yeah, because
you'd
be walking
through each
other's
shit all the
time.
Yeah. So I lived in the very top one, and it had like two rooms. And then I went downstairs to use the bathroom on the middle floor. And that middle floor had... And the layout didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But I always had a feeling I was being watched in there. If I'd walk around a corner and walk up on Eric, he'd jump sky high. I said, what's wrong, man? You scared? No, I ain't scared. I didn't need it. And, you know what I mean? He was afraid to be in there.
Yeah.
Our dates would come over, and you'd have to walk them to the bathroom and guard them.
Like, stand outside the bathroom.
Because they were fucking creeped out by the place. But it looked like a perfectly good Victorian house. I mean, it was in good shape. You know?
Yeah.
When that dude came in to rebuild it, he was knocking those walls out to try to make some kind of an order out
of
it.
To make it like a normal house.
Yeah, to make it like a normal house. You know? Because he wanted to separate the floors and then rent out.
Rent out, yeah.
You know, to him. Because you really couldn't rent it the way it was. And I guess that's why. And like, what was weird is, like, I think we were going to end up paying, like, $700 a month, which is, like, amazingly cheap for Boston.
Yeah, that's very
That's, true. Like, fucking one-third. And they never collected any rent. They just took that first last month and then that deposit. And I think the real estate agent probably took half of that. She probably lied to us about how much the shit actually cost anyway. And I don't think the person that owned the house knew that we were even there, if you ask me. I think only the real estate people knew.
That's kind of
I think hilarious. It was a side thing that they had. I think now, you know.
Well, maybe
at
they
the time,
figured
I didn't
the house was
it.
For sale, and if they knew, if they were handling the sale of the house and
yeah.
they knew that the owners were not in town anymore, they
yeah,
just thought,
and
then, hey.
And I think they thought that was going to be vacant for a year or two.
Yeah.
So the real estate agents were going to make some money on the side. Instead of hiring security so fucking vagrants didn't break in, they just have us up in there. And the thing is, they never collected anything
That's
from
what
us.
I mean. You'd think that they
it
would come
It was just
and
that first and last in the deposit.
Collect rent every month. Get some extra money.
I think it was just that first and the last in the deposit was enough for her. Maybe she... Another thing that could happen is that maybe she switched jobs after that.
Oh, yeah. That's
so that she... So, you know, we never saw them again. It was
That's
weird.
Just so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah. And the weird thing, and then weird shit would happen in the house. Like, I had bad nightmares.
Yeah.
I had a dream that I'd rolled over in my bed and looked down at the floor. I was up in the very top, and that I saw through all the floors of the house, and that I could see through all the pipes. And then down in the pipes, I could see big old piles of fucking starving little puppies in the pipes.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
That was one, and that one fucking woke me up.
Yeah.
Another one that happened was, I was dating a girl named Alexandria. And, all right, at the foot of my bed, up against the wall, it had a slope roof. And the wall on that one side of the room was only about 3 feet tall. You know what I'm talking about? Because of the slope to the roof. And in that wall was a door, a little access door. And it was where storage could go. And for some reason, in the middle of the night, that door started to creak open. And I went to try to shut it like that in my sleep. And Alexandra's like, "What is it? What is it?" And I said, "That's where it lives." And I said that kind of in my sleep. Ooh. But what was weird is it opened up. And it had a, normally it had like a latch. And I thought that latch was, I don't know why, but it started to open and creak open. And I just, out of a dead sleep, went and tried to shut it. She goes, "What is it? What is it?" And I said, "That's where it lives." I said, "You've seen me when I'm waking up."
Yeah, he says all kind of shit in his sleep. That's not as bad as it used to be, but you used to talk in your sleep all the time. And I thought you talked, and I thought you were awake. Because I'd be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Now, on the other side, out in between the two rooms where they had a staircase that went up to the top, and in that little entryway in between the two main rooms was a closet. And I'd been using that closet. And it had like, we have sheetrock here, all right? But in a Victorian house, sometimes it's wood, like wood paneling. But it looked like inch-wide stripes, the paneling.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it was like, not that cheap shit you used to see in the 70s. Yeah, yeah. This is like stuff from the 20s.
Yeah.
Well, on the back of that wall, it had a bunch of coat racks, and it had that striped wood pattern. And as I was hanging up a coat one time, I noticed that at the very edges, all right, where those little one-inch stripes were, there was actually a crack. And I went, "This is a panel. This
Secret
panel removes."
Door.
Yeah, so I was pretty spooked. You know what I mean? I called Eric. He was down there. I said, "Man, get up here. Look at this. There's a secret door in here." Because I pulled it a little bit and it moved. And I wanted him to hold the flashlight. So I take all the coats down and I open it. And it's just an open... It just opened up. You could see the underside of the roof, you know. And I looked and didn't see anything down either side. And I said, "Give me that flashlight." And I fucking shone down one way. And it went all the way to the side of the house. Went all the way down the side of the house. And it just ended in a wall. Nothing. You could see rafters, you know. And then I shone through the other side. It went all the way down at the end. And at the end was a cardboard box. About this big. About a foot by foot by foot. And
I
went, "Oh shit, look at that box."
What was in that
way
box?
Way down at the end.
What's in the box?
Yeah,
what's
so we're going to do, you see that box, and we're sitting there, and I go, "Man, what's in that box?" And that box must have been about 50, 60 feet down, which is a long way, you know what I mean? It didn't have a flat roof, it was, you know, crooked because it was
like slanted.
Yeah, and I had to walk across the rafters to get to it. And I'm thinking, and Eric's like, "You know there's a baby in there. You know there's these fucking..."
I would
with
have
me.
Thought severed head, but baby was... Baby, that's a good guess, too.
"You know there's
too.
A baby in there." And I'm fucking walking across the rafters.
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm walking across the rafters to this fucking box. And it's fucking... You know how the top of that cardboard box is folded?
Uh-huh.
You know how people fold it? And I said, "Somebody put this shit here." And I picked it up, and it was light. Well, I didn't want to open it there. So I carried it all the way back. We opened it. And it was empty. It just had a newspaper in it. And the newspaper was like from the 60s. That's some weird shit, man.
I wonder what was in this. See, this is like horror. This is horror movie shit. And I was like, because, you know, I write horror stories. And it's like, one of the things that I'm always fascinated with is like finding secret rooms. Yeah. Or like finding something where, or finding a box or something like that. Yeah. Finding something where you don't know why it's there. See, this is why, and I think I talked about this when we were talking about that Roman Polanski movie, The Tenant. Like, the part where he, like, finds the hole in the wall and there's a fucking tooth in there.
Yeah.
That freaks me
out. Well, it kind of culminated into this one thing where I was in there by myself one time, and I felt like there was somebody watching me from fucking corner of the damn room, and it kind of reminded me of the fucking mammoth in a way, and looked, and I couldn't see anything there. But it was so strong, I was afraid to look at it. And it just got more and more, like, oppressive. And you know what I mean? I just felt like it was crushing me. You know, it's like, ah, get out of here! And you know what I mean? That's what I went. And it just kind of dissipated. And I asked Eric, I said, man, you feel like that feeling of being watched? He's like, no, no.
No, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? No. And I said, dude, there's something in this house. And he goes, let's go shooting. And he fucking grabbed the 30 carbine, and I grabbed the fucking AK, and we started opening fire and down the basement.
Because no one else was around.
We were scared. He was scared shitless. He goes, let's go shooting. And I said, yeah, chase the evil spirits away. We fucking bore a hole in the side of the damn wall about a foot in diameter shooting that fucking armor piercer.
What the guy that bought the house thought about it? He's like, what the hell are they doing down here?
Just shooting that fucking Chi-Com steel core ammo in there, man. Fucking ricochets bouncing around inside the damn fucking... but you know what's funny is, like, I felt that that thing was in there. It wasn't as strong as Mammoth Mountain, but I knew it was in there.
Yeah.
And one time I remember fucking yelling at it out loud a bit, you know what I mean? That, like, I can't get to you, but I'll burn this fucking house down, and that's all you got. And that kind of dissipated.
He's like,
it.
All right, just back up,
bro. Yeah. He says, I'll burn this fucking house down. It's not mine. I don't give a shit. And that kind of got a...
So they respond to threats. That's good to know.
Yeah. It wasn't my house. I said, this is your house. I will burn it the fuck down. You know who we are, you know?
Yeah.
Because he was watching us. But I don't know what it... I don't know. It responded like it was kind of conscious to what we were doing.
Yeah.
But you see, it was real elusive. It wasn't like Mammoth Mountain where it was moving objects.
Where you saw stuff happening in front
of
your face.
It was just feeling bad dreams, an oppressive feeling of being watched...
The door opening.
That door opened, and I can't say that that was paranormal, though. I don't know if it was locked. It usually is.
Right.
It's just weird, you know what I mean? It happened in my sleep. It might have been wind. I don't know.
Yeah.
But when I had Alex over, she wouldn't walk through the house by herself. She's like, this house is fucking creepy. And I tried to play it off. You know what I mean? I didn't want to, you know... I was trying to get laid here, you know what I mean? I don't want to try to scare her, you know? So I'm just going, oh, it's okay. It's just an empty house.
Yeah. You know?
But it was
That's
fucking...
That's what they always say in horror movies.
It was fucking creepy. It was
That's what they always say to the girls. There's nothing in here.
There's nothing in here. Don't worry about
imagining.
It. I had to wait outside while she's taking a leak and stuff. Walk her around the house, you know?
It's funny because...
And Erica jumped sky high.
Every time you, like...
Yeah, if I walked in the room, he'd... And it's because, like, I knew it was...
Because he felt like something
He felt like someone was watching him. But he was totally not into the paranormal bullshit. That's not happening. But I could see it in him.
You know what's weird? The only time in my whole life, and I might have mentioned this to show before, but I think I've told you. The only time I met, other than the poltergeist shit we had happen here, you know, just like a couple years ago. The only time I felt that oppressive, something is in here, something is looking at me, I have to get out of here, was in a fucking Big Lots. Yeah. And I was just in the aisle, like, looking at Tupperware or something, and all of a sudden I was like, what the fucks? I gotta get out of here. You know what I mean? So that's the only time that I've had that. And I did. I was like, okay, I'm getting the fuck out of here. But the weird thing about it is that I spent a lot of time, you know, when we lived for a little while in my grandfather's old house in Daytona Beach. It's not there anymore. It got torn down. It's a frat house now, I think. But it's, I don't know when it was built. Early 20th century, I think. It was on Ridgewood. And it was a really cool house, like an old stucco, like, mansion. And after my grandmother left him, he became a hoarder, as I've mentioned before. So the house was kind of just, like, full of crap. And sometimes, like, when my family was, you know, having financial problems or something, we would move in and we would live on the second floor for a little while. And all of my mom's siblings had grown up in that house. That was, like, their childhood home. Every single one of them said it was haunted. They said that we used to have our blankets pulled off. We used to hear, like, somebody walking around on the roof, like, all the time. They said it sounded like a sea captain, almost like a sea captain, like, walking back and forth, like, yeah, up the deck of a ship. They said that's what it reminded them of. And the weird thing is that I lived there for a really long time, and I was like really into, like, you know, horror and stuff like that, like I still am, and I kept hoping, it's like, oh, I want to see a ghost, yeah, I want to hear something, but I never did. But yeah, I still love that house, and I actually, like, some of my fictional stories, I still set it in there, yeah, because what I was saying about the secret door before was one of the coolest things that fascinated me about this house so much was that there was, like, a big living room, and then there was, like, in the kitchen, you turned, like, in the kitchen, and then there was, like, a staircase. Like, there was three steps, and then a landing, and then it went up to the second floor. And right there on the landing was, like, a little door, like a little metal door.
Yeah.
And for a long time when I was growing up, I'd never seen it open, so I didn't know what was in there.
Yeah.
So I kind of had all these, like, fantasies, like imagination, like, about what was in there. And it turned out all that was in there was my grandfather was a jeweler, and he kept, like, all his you know, all his jewelry, and then he had all laid on the tables, like a little lab and stuff, and he had, like, all his lights and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's like, one story that I wrote, I actually used that, like, that there wasn't a door there, but there was, like, a secret passage, just because, yeah, I was so fascinated by that, because I never saw, yeah, it open. And then I was kind of disappointed, but I actually did see it open. I'm like, ah, it's just a room. Oh, well.
I thought it was AK. I thought it was AK I shot the basement up with, but it wasn't. I sold the AK. It was the Mini 30, because that was during the assault rifle ban, and I sold all the AKs. They were worth a lot of money. The Mini 30 wasn't.
So I ended up keeping
the guns that I couldn't get good money for.
Yeah.
Which was a Ruger GP100 revolver, a 30 carbine, and it was a fucking Universal, It was one of the knockoffs. It wasn't a real it wasn't a real 30 carbine. It was like a 70s knockoff. That Mini 30, I had a Falcon folder on it. It looked like a folding stock on it. Gun guys know what I'm talking about. I couldn't get enough money for those, so I just went in and kept those.
Well, yeah.
But it shoots that same round as a AK.
It's just cracks me up.
I sold all,
like,
the AKs.
Y'all getting scared of ghosts and so going down
shooting
up
the fucking place. It was kind of like, well, he.
We're not scared.
Yeah. I understood it. I understood it immediately when he did it.
Yeah.
I understood it immediately. I felt the same way. It was kind of like, you know, the Chinese throw firecrackers, scare off evil spirits.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
You're trying to make yourself feel like you have power or energy over this thing, because
you don't know what it is.
It was just fucking very oppressive, cold, sick feeling. Like, it did not feel like a poltergeist. It felt like the poltergeist in terms of, like, you know, poltergeist felt like it was watching you. But that one was just kind of, it had a higher energy feeling to it.
Yeah.
You know? This one was just kind of, the only way I can describe it was, like, slow, cold, and, like, sick.
Hmm.
It felt, you know what I mean? It wasn't good.
Now I'm kind of. Do you remember the address? Because I'd be curious to know.
I know where it is. I could find it on.
Because I wonder if the guy that bought it, like, had any. Especially if he was renovating, because they say that.
I could find it on
renovating.
I could find it on Google Earth.
Yeah.
I'm
sure.
I think it was.
I
think the number on it might have been 311 or 3. I can picture where it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it at one time.
It still cracks me up that they just let you move in there and you were essentially just squatting. Did you pay other bills, like electric or water?
That's a weird thing.
No?
I think the electricity bill we paid.
Yeah.
We had a phone line in there. We paid that.
Yeah, but that's usually
done. It had a furnace you had to add oil to. And this is the weird thing about this one. That's the part. It got cold as shit in there, man, in the fucking winter. And I said, what the fuck is it? Why is it so fucking cold in there? And I was like, I wonder if it has something to do with that big old metal thing downstairs.
You didn't know.
Didn't know what that was. Didn't really look at it. You know, I never seen anything like that.
It's like, this is the fucking 21st century.
Yeah, and it had a, and it was like, it looked like a big old fucking generator. You know what I mean? The way I remember it.
It's like, oh, maybe we should.
And I was like, oh, this is a fucking water heater. And you see, we had those radiators.
Yeah.
You know, talking about those radiator type
things. Yeah,
And it had a fucking fuel gauge on it and everything. And I says, this thing's out.
Yeah.
Well, hanging from it was a fuck. What's that?
I said, well, that explains it. Why it's so cold in there.
Hanging from the side of it was a tag. And a tag was like from an oil service that had a phone number on it and everything. So I called that number. And I said, yeah, I'm in a house. I don't own it. But it had your number on this water heater furnace thing. I forgot what they call it. I knew what it was because it said it on the thing.
Yeah.
It says, it's got your number on there. And it says, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, who owns this house. I mean, I told him. Real estate agent just put us in this thing, you know. And he's like, where's the address? I'm giving the address a couple minutes. He goes, yeah, I remember that. Okay, we'll go down there and we'll fill it up. You could fill it up from the outside.
Oh, interesting.
You could go in through the damn the driveway, and I guess there was like a spigot, and a truck would fill it up from outside.
Oh, okay.
And this is what, and he goes, "Yeah, we'll bill that account." That's what he said. And I never saw a bill.
So I guess it wasn't you. I guess maybe they were sending them right to the owner. But like I said, maybe the owner was just paying them and being like, "Whatever."
Yeah,
maybe he thought it was empty.
And I never got a bill, or never the owner never contacted us or anything. I was just like, well. It must not have cost much.
I guess not.
That's, I don't know how much that
oil. It was quite oil. Well, it's like some people own, because like, look, the people that own our house that we rent from, they own, what, 12 houses?
Yeah, it must have been something like that.
Like, and they're paid for. They don't have mortgages on them. Yeah. They outright own 12 houses that they rent out.
Must have been something like that.
And, you know.
They knew who it was, and they said, they haven't bought from us in a long time. That's what that guy said.
Maybe they were dead.
Yeah, he says... Well, I think maybe the winter before that, maybe there was nobody in there.
Yeah.
That was some weird shit, man, because here's another weird thing that happened. It was winter time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it wasn't winter. It was before the winter time when it first happened. The windows had all kind of warped. They were hand-blown glass. So it didn't really look flat.
Yeah.
I opened up the damn window one time. And walked away from it, and a few hours later, it fell on its own. Boom! And it busted that window and knocked a hole. It made a kind of like a spider web in the window, but the center of that spider web popped out about a 6-inch diameter piece of glass. So it had a round 6-inch hole in the glass with a couple little spider webs on it. And I was like, oh shit. It had a screen, so I just left it.
That's
winter
some,
came, it got cold as shit.
That's some Amityville horror shit right there.
Winter came, it got cold as shit because there was a hole in the window.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't going to replace that damn hand-blown glass.
Didn't you at least put like some plastic over it or
no,
something?
No, what I did?
What?
I took a damn old fucking shirt and wadded up the ball
and stuffed
put it in that
there.
Damn hole.
Hey, better than nothing.
I said, that shirt's warmer than that glass.
See?
Yeah, see? Pretty fucking smart. Eric was like, maybe we should get some saran wrap. And I go, man, fuck that. And he goes, and there it goes, that'll work.
He's like, hey,
that'll
problem
work.
Solved.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's pretty fun. All right, you ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So right. Well, that was the story of that house.
Yeah.
That's all I could tell you about that.
He's got lots of stories about various things. All
yeah, but not ghost
stuff. Not really, yeah. You just...
No.
I mean, you have more ghost stories than me, obviously, but...
Yeah. One time I'll have to have somebody on here. I was showing some other guys. He's a retired E-8 Special Forces Ranger, also a Ranger, and his unit was, put in charge of Abu Ghraib prison. And this is after... You know that shit that happened at Abu Ghraib?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was after that.
Okay.
After that scandal happened, they moved his unit in there. He said that place was dripping with evil. More than three-quarters of a
million... Not surprisingly.
I think he said one-quarter or three-quarters of a million people murdered there and tortured to death over a period of about 10 years. And he saw apparitions there. Not him, but other guys, too. You know, just...
Yeah, it's
ghostly
like,
black figures and
that,
being
you know,
watched.
It's like, I'm not a huge believer in the paranormal, but it's like some places, it's like, you know, if any place is haunted, it's that place, and that is definitely
they found mass graves there. They'd find fucking rib cages coming up out of the sand and shit. They just walled off whole parts of the prison because they're just fucking speckled with blood and fucking teeth. And they had a damn eye in the ceiling where you could just put a hook through there and they'd give the inmates a fucking noose and tell them to hang themselves if they wanted to escape torture. And they'd, on average, you know, each one of those cells, one dude would hang himself a day because they were constantly trying to pack more guys into it.
Yeah.
And so they would just torture them until they fucking killed themselves.
Yeah,
chances of you coming out of Abu Ghraib prison or fucking back in Saddam's era was very slim. But he just said that that place was fucking evil.
That went dark, didn't it?
Yeah. Not imagine fucking concentration camps are probably pretty fucking spooky.
Well, yeah, everyone I've known that has gone to them, like imagine the ones in Germany, Germany and Poland and stuff like that, that have been to them said, yeah, it's like super, super creepy, like walking around. And there's like a lot of people go to them now because it's like kind of like a weird, creepy tourist attraction.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody I know that has been there said it was, yeah, it's creepy.
During the time he was there, Abu Ghraib was, you know, it was manned and they were doing stuff out of there, but they just said it was just unlivable. Just the fucking, the oppressive feelings, you know, and they're using the same showers that the inmates used.
Oh,
stuff like that.
No,
you know?
Thank you.
And some of the wings of the prison, they just walled them off. They didn't even want to deal with them.
Just like, fuck that.
Fuck that, yeah.
I don't blame them.
Didn't even clean them.
I wouldn't even, you know, you'd think you would just want to tear the shit down and just fucking salt the earth, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's wrap up this little third.
Yeah.
And we'll probably be talking to y'all again tomorrow. The movie retrospective goes up tomorrow, too, so that's something for you guys to look forward to also.